All right. Sorry about that, Jesse. In some sense, I'll be told, you might be thinking I'm preaching to the choir tonight. But we need to think about this. Do you love Jesus? How do we know that we love Jesus? There's a couple answers to that question. One in particular I've been thinking about, because we're in Acts. And it has to do with that little thing that Jesus says to Paul. I'm just going to go to Acts 22, where Paul tells us. Luke told us earlier in Acts when he told of this conversion incident with Saul and Jesus. Paul's retelling it here in Acts 22. In verse 3, he says, I'm a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city. And he goes down in verse 4, I persecuted this way. And remember, this way was referring to what we would call Christianity. Those who are believing that Jesus is the Messiah, Lord and Savior. He says, I persecuted this way, those who believe that about this Jesus guy from Nazareth, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear witness. From them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed towards Damascus to take those also who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. Verse 6, near Damascus, about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me. I fell to the ground. I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth. He repeats himself here, whom you are persecuting. First he asked Saul a question, why are you persecuting me? And then when Saul says, who are you? He says, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Twice he tells Saul that Saul has been persecuting him. Saul never met him. Jesus has been raised from the dead and has ascended to the right hand of the Father when Saul is doing the things he just talked about. But what do we see there? Jesus is saying that as you treat my people, so you treat me. As you persecute those who believe in me, you persecute me. How you treat the church, which is not this building, but those who are followers of the way, Christians. As you treat Christians, so you treat Jesus. That's the mathematical equation, if you will, so to speak. You know, A equals B, right? If this, then that, or an if-then statement. Jesus told him, you're persecuting me. Wait a second, he's been persecuting Christians. That's right. You persecute Christians, you persecute Jesus. In other words, how you treat Christians, that's how you treat Jesus. So back to that question. Do you love Jesus? Does how you treat other Christians demonstrate that you love them? And if so, then we love Jesus. We can't say we love Jesus and not love the Christians around us. I thought of this, I'm thinking about this for a number of reasons. First of all, again, we're in Acts, and that statement is just wonderful. You just should be surprising. But we're so used to it, maybe it isn't. Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now, if I were Saul, and I hadn't just been knocked down and blinded and all those other things that, you know, you really wouldn't respond the way you think you would respond. But as I think about how I would respond if I was there, though I actually wouldn't respond that way, I would respond like this. Who are you? I am persecuting you. But he was. Because he's persecuting the church. To persecute the church is to persecute Jesus. And so, too, to love the church, that is Christians, is to love Jesus. You can have great doctrine. You could even show up every Sunday, and every time there's an evening meeting, you put stickers on your car, listen to Christian music, talk all about love for Jesus. But in reality, Jesus perceives our love for Him through our treatment of His people. I was also thinking about this because someone recently, in the context of the fact that they don't go to church, said to me, I'm still a Christian. I'm not a very good Christian, but I'm a Christian and I love Jesus. Well, Saul never met Jesus, but Jesus said, you're persecuting me because of how Saul was treating Christians. You can't say you love Jesus and not love the church. Again, church, it's not the building. It's not the program. Or programs. It's not the dinner you got. It's His people. You can't say that. Some of you may think what I'm saying sounds a little bit like, I don't know, you're kind of getting out there on a limb. Others of you are going, this sounds really familiar to me. Yeah. 1 John chapter 4. John, the Apostle John, the one who penned John 3:16 that everyone loves, for God so loved the world. John writes this in 1 John, so the letter towards the end of your Bibles, 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. In verse 19 he says, we love because He first loved us. Now, if you just take that verse right there out of context, we love who? We love because He first loved us. Must be talking about loving Him. We love Him because He loved us. But we read in the context says this, verse 20, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Any of you see Jesus lately? No. Saul had never seen Jesus until that day on the road. And yet Saul had been living a life of persecuting, of hating Jesus without ever seeing Him. How come? Because he was persecuting the ones he could see, Christians. How are you treating the Christians around you, specifically your church? Now, actually, I believe that as a church, Grace Church, you're doing a really, really good job. But let's not become complacent or assume that we're loving Jesus by how we're treating one another. Loving one another takes patience, consistency, perseverance, and prioritizing our lives. It takes work. It's not simply showing up on Sunday morning, though showing up on Sunday morning is actually loving other Christians. If you're showing up because Jesus is everything to you, and you make worshiping Him with His people a priority, that's actually loving other Christians. Because by showing up, you're reminding them of what's most important. And you're spurring them on and encouraging them in that. But let's face it, our Sunday mornings don't necessarily offer a whole lot of opportunity to consistently lock elbows and love one another. That's got to take place outside Sunday. Now, don't get me wrong. You can get into conversations on Sunday morning, find out what's going on, speak the truth to one another, step over to the side and pray for someone, and that is loving. But then if we go off the rest of the week and our priorities are elsewhere, we're actually not loving the church. We're not loving Christians. We're actually not loving Jesus. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Where are you at with those that you see? Those who are right in front of you. Every one of us requires patience at various times. I believe that you've all been extremely patient with me. Just going to the Exalting Christ conference recently, people ask, how's church going? I go, it's still going. They're there and they're loving one another and we're pressing on, even though I've been sort of airheaded and absent-minded and in a fog and out of it for like a year now. You've been patient with me and bearing with me. Forgetful. I've missed appointments, forgot phone calls. I mean, it's bad. You're bearing with me. I need it. Sometimes more than others. Every one of us needs it. And I bring this up because we're doing it. Let us do it all the more. And let us not be distracted by or confused by or led astray by the ideas of what loving Jesus is in our immediate churchianity culture around us. Another thing that has me thinking about this is, I'm not picking on anyone, but this is a reality we're around, and it can rub off on us the wrong way. People church hop. They church hop. They're constantly changing churches, and I'm constantly, that may be an overstatement, you know, but they're changing churches often, and their concern about churches and why they're changing churches doesn't come down to what's preached about Jesus or what's going on with the people and loving them there and being loved by them there. Because church has become something else to us in this culture. And what happens then is that we're actually not loving Jesus. And again, I am to a degree preaching to the choir. Not only because you're all here on a Sunday night, but because of how you function and how Grace Church has been functioning, how you step up to make meals and you eat meals together and you do seek to know each other and be known. I'm here to say, keep doing that, because actually that is loving Jesus. That's loving Jesus. I know it'd be nice if he's in town and we could have him over for dinner and we could see him and sit down with him, but he's not here. We can't see him. But look left and look right. This is who you can see. Look around on Sunday morning. That's who you can see. And you recall what Jesus said to the disciples in John 15. Here we are in 1 John. And John records for us in John 15 that Jesus said what? They will know that you are my disciples by, fill in the blank, your love for one another. Not, they will know you're my disciple. The world. The they is the world. The unbelievers, the non-Christians, they'll know that you're my disciples when you've got your Sunday program dialed. And it's polished. They'll know you're my disciples when you've got programs for every age group and everyone of every hairstyle. They'll know you're my disciples when your campus looks like a college campus that people would drool for. Or it looks like a cool hip cafe from downtown. Those things could be true of a local church. But Jesus said, they will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. John recorded that. Later he goes on to write to the church and say, if you're not loving the person in front of you, the brother and sister in Christ, you're not loving Jesus. Let's be honest. If we were only going to hang out with people that were easy, we'd hang out with people who were just like us. Thank God there's no one else just like me. Literally, thank God. But it'd have to be the person, I've said this before, I know that. It'd have to be the you right now. Because if I was a wagering man, I haven't said that in a while, if I was a wagering man, I'm not. If you were hanging out with the you 10 or 15 years ago, you'd probably annoy yourself. That's the whole point. Love means bearing with, overlooking offenses, concern about what's best for the other, not what have you done for me lately? What do I get out of this? Right? We overlook that. We overlook our commitment, consistency, perseverance, patience over the long haul with fellow Christians in the same church. We overlook that as that's how we love the Jesus who is not seen. And that is how the world around us might see that we are followers of Christ. I think we've lost sight of that in churchianity. And we're surrounded by that thinking. Let's change churches. I don't like the music there. I don't like the programs there. Or that guy doesn't dress right. He has some funny looking, shirts he wears or whatever. I mean, where's the coffee in the morning? What's the matter with this place? It's kind of hot in here. Don't they have AC? We get caught up in stuff like that. And we think about church wrongly. And then we excuse ourselves inadvertently. We're not actually loving other Christians. And guess what? If you're not actually loving other Christians, you're not loving Jesus. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you? I've never seen you. But the ones Paul did see, Saul, Paul, the ones he did see, the ones that were before him, he was persecuting them. He was dragging them off to prison, and so he was doing that to Christ. He who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. So I start out with the question, do you love Jesus? What am I actually asking? I'm asking how your love life is. Right? Because that's what we're called to, a life of love. With our brothers and sisters. Where are you at in that? Priority? Consistency? Patience? Over the long haul? Where are you at? What's it look like? I mean, go home and sit down at your calendar. What's your priority? As you go through your week, what's on your thoughts? What are you praying about? Evaluate that. Because it's not just, oh, I went to work today, I didn't take part in the gossip, I love Jesus. I went to work today and came home. I'm a good husband. I love Jesus. I got through my week. Didn't take part in the gossip. I love Jesus. That's true. But where is the body of Christ in your equation? Because Jesus laid out an equation for us there when he confronted Saul. The equation is simple. How you treat the church, I take that personally. That's how you're treating me. Some of us are studying Philippians right now, and what is he doing in the Philippians? He's rejoicing that they are still pressing on in the faith. caring about the gospel going out, and he's praying for them that their love might abound all the more. Love for what? Well, love for Jesus. Well, if their love for Jesus is abounding, you'll see that in their love for the church. You can't escape that equation. But we like to. But you can't. So don't. Literally, go home and look at your calendars. Consider your lives. Look at your weeks. Who's your priority? Jesus. Really? Who's your priority? One more aside. It doesn't mean you neglect your family. It doesn't mean you're not allowed to do things with or for other people. Do good to all people. How does the rest of that verse go? But especially to the household of God. What did Jesus say? They will know that you are my disciples by your love for one another. Because how we treat the body of Christ is how we treat Jesus. He takes it personally. Join me in prayer. Father, I've confessed that I have said, jokingly and seriously, when asked how the ministry is, it'd be great if it wasn't for the people. Because I'm selfish. I'm selfish and self-centered, naturally and apart from your grace. Apart from the transformation of my mind, like we were just singing a minute ago. Transformed by your word, constantly challenged and being conformed to the gospel. I do not, and we do not gravitate towards actually loving people. We want to be around people. I want to be around people. People like me who like what I like and do what I do and think the way I think, and that's selfish. Father, I confess that. I thank you for your grace and patience with me, with each of us. I thank you for your grace upon me and your patience with me through these here, your people, Christ's body, the church. And Father, I do believe you have begun a good work here and in the lives of the members of Grace Church. And I pray that you will carry it on to completion in the day of Christ. That our love for one another would be a biblical, Christ-centered love for one another that would abound all the more as every day goes by. That we would indeed love Jesus. And that we would, in that, be the most peculiar people around. Making time for and being concerned about those who are not our blood relatives. Or those who don't like the same sports and activities or hobbies that we do. But those with whom we are united through faith in Christ who shed his blood for us. I don't know what for sure what letter you might write to us if we were one of those churches in Revelation. But I do believe, Father, that there would be encouragement that there is love and an exhortation to abound all the more. Father, may we do that. May we love. May we selflessly and sacrificially and consistently consider others more important than ourselves. Because you first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. Good to see you all. Have a good evening, and Lord willing, see you sooner than later.